When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Baby hair with a woman's eyes, I can feel you watching in the night. All alone with me, waiting for the sunlight. When I feel cold, you warm me. And when I feel I can't go on, you come and hold me. It's you and me forever.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. Sorry, I had to let it go to the chorus drop. I mean, when I didn't it seem disrespectful?
The chorus drop.
I know it was a little wave, but I was like, I was still disrespectful to hop in here before the chorus drops. People listening and be like, Rod B, shut up. Before the chorus drops, at least let the chorus drop. So I decided to let y'all enjoy it because I was enjoying it too. Crazy part about it, I was just listening to Holly Notes. What was that? A couple days ago? Because
we had it as they were the one artist Wednesday a week or two
yes,
ago.
Yes, and then you got me thinking about Holly Notes, so I was jamming it actually. Because one of our traditions is bath time is always with a tribute to an artist. Like, it's basically every day is One Artist Wednesday when we do bath time with Baby Girl. So we got to play a song. I picked Holly Notes. So I was like, oh, damn it. And the worst part, but I guess it's good for her, I sing through the ones I jam, you know what I mean? So it's me. Yeah. It's Rod B. All she knows is my voice. She don't even know Holly Notes, really. All she knows is Rod B jamming that, and she likes it, but she's the only one that likes the sound of my voice. But, yeah, I was just jamming. You got to let the beat drop. You got to let that chorus play, man. You got to. It's a great build up there. So thanks to my man Patrick for a smooth soul Monday meant to make your transition from the relaxing, fun-filled weekend to the hectic, stress-filled work week a little smoother. So he wants to make that a smooth transition for you. That's the purpose of a smooth soul Monday. So we appreciate Patrick there. We also appreciate him for the big fat poll of the day, which will lead us into our first topic of discussion here right after the horn headlines, which is the Texas spring game. Patrick, what's the topic of the big fat poll of the day?
Big fat poll of the day. Who was the standout in the spring game? Who was your top standout? Who was the guy in the spring game? We look, Arch is going to run away with it. We know Arch is going to run away with it in the poll.
Yes.
Arch had an amazing game. I put up some other names, though, on the list. We put some other names up on. We put the poll up on X.
And okay. We got some more variety in the voters now.
Yeah, okay.
In the votes. Yes, because Arch Manning, 63% of the voters say Arch was the MVP of it, or the standout player of the spring game. Ryan Wingo got 23%, so he's second. Right. Trey Owens getting some love at 10%. And my man Colton Vosick at 4% getting some love. So you can go check that out at the Horn ATX. So, yeah, it's a little bit – at first, Arch Manning was running away. It was like 90-something percent Arch. But
Steven,
now looking back at it
– some people throwing some love to some other people.
Yeah. Trey Owens should get some love, man. Trey Owens should get some love. Listen, Trey Owens ain't been in this system very long. Arch Manning's been in this system now an entire season. He looked like it, by the way. He looked like a three-year veteran out there. Slinging the rock around. He looked great. He really did. I think Texas has two starting caliber quarterbacks. Remember Peter Burns, who did the he hosted basically LHN pregame for the spring game, and he works for the SEC Network and ESPN and does a really good job there. He's great. He actually tweeted this out. The Longhorns have the best quarterback room in the country. Two QBs that could win a Heisman in that offense. Now, I was just going to say you got two starting caliber quarterbacks. He's saying you got two QBs that could win a Heisman in that offense. So, I mean, that goes without saying. That was his impression of it. My impression of you got two starting caliber quarterbacks, and my man CB even sent me the stat. The trend continues. Texas has used or needed multiple quarterbacks, and I believe it's in the last 25 years. I believe you're talking about 18 of the 25 years you've needed a backup quarterback to play for some reason or another. So with Arch looking the way he looked, no quarterback controversy, but knocking on wood, we hope that Quinn can start and finish every game. But if he doesn't, there will be no anxiety. There will be no stress about Arch Manning stepping in that role. He looked like the three-year vet. He looked like a guy that – he looked like a Manning. I mean, that's what you want me to say. He looked like him. That's the best compliment I think I can give you.
Yeah.
He looked like a Manning.
He looked as billed.
Yes.
And that's you know, when you say this is one of the highest rated recruits and all of that coming out, he looked as billed. I did like Sark in the postgame did do the shot again of he goes, you know, you guys have your rankings with Trey Owens. He's like, you guys have your rankings. We trust our department. Yeah. And he looked right on Trey Owens as well, which is, it's, you know, you guys, you don't want to put him up there as the highest rated. We'll trust ourselves on this.
I will say, pat myself on the back a little bit. We do our own Texas football. We did a live stream from Victory Lap over there on campus before the spring game. And I said, I've said this on these airwaves as well. I said, you're going to be really impressed with Trey Owens when you see him. You're going to be really impressed with him. He's just impressive. He's got great arm talent, and he's poised. He's mature beyond his years as a quarterback, and he's competitive as a mofo. He really is. You don't beat KD and H-Town as a quarterback in the playoffs without being competitive. He's competitive, and he is confident, borderline arrogant. I ain't going to lie to you. I spoke to the young man a couple times, borderline arrogant, but it's a good thing. Because you need to be borderline arrogant if you're going to sit behind Quinn Ewers and sit behind Arch Manning.
Yeah.
And still have faith in your abilities and not let that make you insecure as a player. So, I put me on the field and you'll see how good I am. And I don't know if he's going to be here after Arch Manning leaves. I don't know. Because he strikes me as kind of Malik Murphy. He'll stay here long enough to learn what he can learn, stabilize the position. But he's going to get better, too. And the more you see him, the better he's going to get. And I could see you having him, you know, a couple of years, but I can see him at one point saying, all right, you know, unless Arch is in and out, I could see him pursuing up. And it's okay because you can trust Sark is going to keep that quarterback room stacked.
Yep.
That's what he's going to do. You can trust that Sark's going to be able to do that. And I think this is the best example of it. Look what he's done to that with that quarterback room now in just a short time. It's the best quarterback room potentially in the country. I can't think of one that's better.
I've not heard anybody talk about their quarterback room with this level of excitement.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about two first-round picks right back-to-back here. I mean, I'm sure that may exist on some roster, too, of course. I mean, you got stacked rosters like Georgia and Ohio State, but, I mean, if Will Howard's one of your starting quarterbacks, I think this is a better quarterback room than the Ohio State room because they got Will Howard's one of the two guys. And nothing against Will Howard, but I just think Arch and Quinn are better than Will Howard. So I'm going to say, don't give me Ohio State. Don't give me Bama because, I mean, I like Jalen Milroe, but no. I guess I got to see who's behind Jalen Milroe. They may be it. Carson Beck's really good for Georgia, so who's behind him? I mean, there are some really, really talented quarterbacks, so I'm not going there. But I think Texas 1-2, and now looking at their 3 in Trey Owens, you know, I throw them out there with any team's top 3 quarterbacks on their roster right there. So we'll get into the spring game. We'll talk about it more because obviously that is the big discussion today. And obviously we'll get into we'll hear from Sark when we get behind the burnt orange curtain next segment, and then we'll talk more spring football. But let's hear the Horn headlines first, get updated, get educated and informed with the big headlines of the day. Then we'll come back and discuss some of the other storylines from the Texas spring game. But first, Patrick's going to hit us with the Horn headlines.
All right, your Horn headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Texas baseball won their series against TCU over the weekend. And after another slow start, freshman Casey Borba added a spark with 4 hits and 5 RBIs in the series. And solid starts from ace Whitehead and LeBaron Johnson Jr. allowed the Texas bullpen to get some much-needed rest. Texas will take on UT Arlington on Tuesday to wrap up their 5-game homestand. Texas softball pushed her win streak to 9 games, sweeping Kansas over the weekend. Reese Atwood had 5 RBIs over the series, which leaves her now tied for the single-season record in Texas softball history with 7 games still to go in the regular season. The Longhorns take on Nichols on Thursday as a warm-up for their next Big 12 series. The NBA has revealed its finalists for their end-of-season awards, with Victor Wembanyama listed as a finalist for Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year. There was no surprise in the finalists for MVP, with Jokic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Luka Doncic all getting the nod. And Alperen Şengün earned a nomination as well for Most Improved alongside Tyrese Maxey and Kobe White. The awards will be announced over the next few weeks. The higher seeds and home teams dominated the first games of the playoffs with a clean sweep of all 8 games. The Mavs could not take advantage of Kawhi Leonard missing game one, shooting awfully in the first half and unable to slow down the Clippers in the second half. Dallas will get another shot on Tuesday to steal a game in L.A. Tonight's slate of games includes the Magic versus the Cavs, the 76ers versus the Knicks, and the Lakers against the Nuggets. In Major League Baseball, the Astros dropped another series 2-1 to the Nationals. Verlander looked good in his debut on Friday, but the bats disappeared over the next 2 games. Houston will face the Cubs starting Tuesday. And the Rangers salvaged a game in their series against the Braves on Sunday behind 2 more RBIs from Adolis Garcia, who has been one of the best hitters in the MLB so far this season. The Rangers get a day off before starting a series against the Mariners. And that is your Horn Headlines.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Come get 0% interest for 48 months on new steel zero-turn mowers and lawn equipment this month at Top Gun. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right. Getting back to the – thank you, Patrick, for the Horn Headlines. We appreciate those. And getting back to the Texas spring game, Arch Manning, 19 of 26 for 355 yards, 3 touchdowns. 1 interception. Trey Owens was 14 of 21 for 228 yards, 3 touchdowns. Cole Lord even got in on it. And I will say Sark gave Cole Lord props. Remember, in the media availability prior to the spring game, he was like, man, I'm telling y'all, Cole Lord looked good out there. And we're like, why are you talking about Cole Lord? You know, God bless him, good for Cole Lord. But you know, we want to talk about Arch. We want to hear about Quinn, even Trey Owens, and he's talking about Cole Lord. But maybe that's why Sark was talking about Cole Lord. He was 8 of 11 for 72 yards, and then he had a touchdown. But the quarterbacks were showcased, and I think there's no doubt. I think that is the biggest storyline, and that's what made Longhorn fans feel good about the future of Texas football. I always see, you know, spring games as kind of a trailer. The season is the movie, but this is the trailer. You get a chance to see a little trailer of the team. And trailers get people really excited. Everybody loves it. It's hard to screw up a trailer, right? It's hard to have a bad trailer for a movie. Even bad movies have good trailers, right? Because it's just little snippets here and there of like the best parts of it. And spring games are kind of like that, you know. But I think for Longhorn fans, they are really excited now about this movie now because of the trailer they saw. And why not? Because of Arch Manning. Now, we'll hear from Sark, but they didn't want Quinn to play a lot. They wanted this to be a showcase of Arch Manning. But I'll say this, recruiting-wise, because he had a lot of recruits there, for a game to come down like to a Hail Mary there and have so many points scored, was it 35, 34, whatever it was, so many points scored, so many big plays. The truth is, I'm a defensive guy, and I'm an old man now. So I looked at the spring game, and I, you know, I say you look at it glass half full, glass half empty, depending on, because it's your own team. So if the quarterbacks are playing well, the pass defense ain't looking too good. If they're throwing for 650-something yards or whatever they did, but offense is what puts butts in seats. Offense is what recruits come to see. Offense is what gets fans excited. And that's why Longhorn fans are – nobody's really talking about the pass defense as much. I know there's some of you out there that are complaining about it, like me, because you're probably old and crotchety and thinking about what could go wrong. But in terms of looking at the overall – you know, kind of the overall identity of this team and what the identity of the program is going to be probably going forward, because Sark is an offensive-minded guy. It's going to be about offense. It's going to be about offense. It's going to be about quarterbacks. It's going to be about really good great receivers and a prolific offense, an offense that's fun to watch. I think they're going to pair it up with an elite defense at one point. Even last year, they were elite in certain aspects. But even this year, just based on the trailer, Patrick, I don't think you're going to get that elite part of the secondary necessarily either. I'm not saying it's going to be a weakness, but I'm not sure it's necessarily going to be a strength and to be part of the identity of the team. That it's going to be about offense and be about scoring points. They're going to be able to do that as well as anybody in the country.
No, and I mean, we can throw in a couple things of the depth at that position is still not really there. So when you split them up across two teams, you saw the gaps in when splitting up against two teams and the youth there. So once you put your best guys out there, it'll be a little bit better. You hope the communication will be better once you kind of get your main guys. I know they like to rotate, so there is going to be some issues of communication, but you hope to have it a little bit more set of what you got, what people are known to expect in that. And then you also, this is a non-contact for quarterbacks game, so the pass rush is a little different in this game where you can two-hand touch, but I think when you're putting real pressure on quarterbacks with the defensive edges, which what Texas has now, it will help this secondary a little bit more that you didn't necessarily have the same blitz packages and things that you could throw at this in a spring game. So I think there are things that will improve once we get to the regular season. It is something that, you know, you don't want to see it. You don't want to see guys not in picture, you know, or when guys are catching passes. You like to see them. You like to see them a step behind and go, oh, he just misread that a little bit, not where is the defender? And that happened a few times.
Yeah, that happened a few times. Yeah, 50, 75-yard touch. You had 2 75-yard touchdowns and 1 50-yard touchdown. You had a 30-yard touchdown. You gave just a lot of explosive plays. But like I said, it to your point, when you got deeper, because that's what the spring game is about, right? It's about depth because everybody plays. And the deeper you get into your, especially without Jadae Barron, the deeper you get into your defensive backs, you were exposed. And that was something you had an issue with last year. You recruited 5 defensive backs in this recruiting class and brought in Makuba. So it's one of the last phases of roster construction for you. And it showed. The youth and inexperience there, the communication breakdowns, it showed. But look how deep you are at wide receiver. That also showed, because even when you spread that group out, how thin it was, you get a Ryan Wingo as a prodigy, as a freshman out there getting 2 touchdowns and 4 catches for 81 yards, and DeAndre Moore, and then Isaiah Bond, and then Matthew Golden, hell, Thatcher Milton as a walk-on, right? So just as inexperienced and just as exposed as you were in the secondary, because it's a spring game, so it's testing your depth, you also show the quarterback. Right, you saw how deep you were at quarterback, spread across, even Cole Lord out there balling. Trey Owens, your third-string quarterback, even though you took Quinn out of it. We know that, you know, Quinn early on was he 2 for 3 and then had the interception return for a touchdown on the tipped RPO pass. But it was a non-factor. I mean, and that was intentional by Sark. So you saw the depth, to your point, Patrick, and you saw it different. I think you did get more. Sark was the one who was overruling plays and calling sacks. Yeah. I bet if I went and compared this year's spring game with last year's spring game, I bet there were more sacks called. It's just hard. Like you said, it's tough in the spring game. I remember Colin Simmons got a sack. Colton Vosick got a sack. I mean, your edges, I would say that's one thing too. Getting back to your point, once you got into the spring game, the depth at your edges showed.
Yeah.
You're deep on the edges. Hell, they were still guys who were making plays on the edges late in the game, like Colton Vosick and like Colin Simmons. So you're deep there. So I think you're deep most places pretty much, except interior D-line and the secondary. You don't have experience depth yet. You just have young guys who have talent, but you just started to kind of build up that secondary, and that showed too.
Yeah, and one position that I thought was kind of they didn't necessarily stand out, and we know they have at least some depth in there. It was tight end didn't really stand out in this game.
Yeah, they have depth. They do have depth. I like Jordan Washington as a young buck. I will say this too, because I went back and charted the game. Sark ran that tight end screen like 4 different times too. By the way, he loves that tight end screen. They had averaged over 11 yards per play running that tight end screen. And it was the 4th most explosive play concept for Texas in terms of yards per play last season, averaging over 12 yards per play. In terms of explosive play rate, it was around 33% explosive play rate. So he likes that tight end screen. He ran it with everybody. He ran it with Nye Black. He ran it with Helm. He ran it with Jordan Washington, too. Probably had the most explosive play with Jordan Washington out of that tight end screen. And Amari Nye Black had a really nice one, too, like a 14-yard, I think, scamper once he caught a tight end screen. But I'm with you. I feel better now about the tight end position than I did before, yeah. But I'm with you. I don't know if it's going to be a strength or if it's going to be a difference-making position overall for Texas.
And it's you mentioned earlier in the show, is this something where you I don't know if in big plays where he's looking for explosive plays, if Nyblack, if Gunnar Helm, or if they go and they basically pull tight ends off the field and they go with more wide receivers because you have such depth at wide receiver, do you feel does that change? That's kind of where the question still lied after the spring game was. I didn't see Nyblack become that explosive player that we expect him to be. We know he has the ability to be. You would have liked to see him break one of those gigantic runs or gigantic, you know, some routes that really look that way. And I have to go back. I have not watched it a second time. So if I go back and watch it again, then you know, also
no,
I can.
You're right. No,
I can
no,
say
it
out
have,
but they didn't necessarily didn't. Stand no. out in the game.
No. No, no, it wasn't vertical routes like we thought. I mean, it was screen passes, little,
for the record, Sark's not calling the plays. I mean, he has the playbook, he has all that. Kevin yes. Milwee and Kyle Flood, I believe, were calling the two plays for the other sides, right?
That's true, yes. And they ran staples, but you're right. Nothing was souped up. This was very vanilla in terms of what they run, which means they run things they always run that are already on film. That's why they ran a lot of the tight end screen. I will say the wide receiver rotation will expand. That's one of the things that I predicted early on this spring that, hey, they're going to expand that wide receiver rotation because those guys are looking too good. So Bond looked good, had some drops early on, but I thought still you saw the potential there. Isaiah Bond, Jonte Cook looked good. Ryan Wingo looked amazing for a freshman. I mean, I said early on, and I saw my man CB send me the Chance mock tweet, but I said – hell, weeks ago, he's the most talented, physically gifted freshman at wide receiver Texas has brought in since Roy Williams. I saw my man Bobby Burton say the same thing, and I saw Chance Mock, shout out to my man CB at Chris GB 00. Yeah, here's CB right here. Yeah, my man CB sent it to me. Thank you, CB. I appreciate that. At Chris GB 00 2000. But yeah, Chance Mock says it's just a spring game, but Ryan Wingo is the closest thing I've seen to Roy Williams as incoming freshman. He will be a difference maker in week one. It's freaky. It's not their games aren't the same. He's actually better with the ball in his hands than Roy Williams will be. But the freakish combination of size and speed and twitchiness and agility and hands, you just usually don't get that combination of elite traits. Wide receivers are given one or two elite traits, right? Xavier Worthy's got his speed. That's his elite trait. But he's not great on contested catches. He doesn't have elite size. He's a small guy, right? A.D. Mitchell's got some size, but he's not great with the ball in his hands. You never see an A.D. Mitchell out there breaking tackles. That's not what he does. His elite skill set is his catch radius and his body control. But he'll have, you know, he's got good speed, but he doesn't have world-class speed like Xavier Worthy. But this kid runs a 10-5. Like, he has four or five elite traits in his skill set, and that's rare to get that combination in one wide receiver. And that's what they have in a young Ryan Wingo. So my point being, when you're at that with DeAndre Moore, and Matthew Golden, I think you're going to expand that rotation. And Silas Bolden ain't even on campus yet.
Yeah.
So that group's going to be deep, man.
Yeah.
Deep.
I wonder if Silas Bolden watching the game would just be like, man, I'm all, more of my work's cut out for me.
I should have came in a little earlier. Nah, because you're right. They are deep. That's like I said. That is a really impressive group of wide receivers, as advertised. Like, so a lot of things are exceeding expectations, even though the expectations were really high for that group. One thing also noticed the deep ball. You didn't see it from Quinn, but the deep ball is going to come back this year. I think that's something that Sark wants to come back. Even with Quinn, he needs Quinn to prove it to scouts, because scouts have doubted that in Quinn Ewers, and they've probably put that on his scouting report, or at least the scouting report on him, that he's not a great natural deep ball thrower. And Sark has talked about how he wants to throw the deep ball, and it is a big part of his offensive philosophy, but he has essentially curtailed it because it has not been a strength of Quinn. Well, lately, at least in the last seven starts, and these numbers come from LHN, Quinn's been much better than his first 15 starts at throwing the deep ball. His first 15 starts, 24% completion percentage throwing the deep ball. Last seven, 43% yards per attempt, 7.9. Last first 15, 14.8 in those last seven. His off-target percentage was 44% on deep balls. Now it's at 25% in the last seven games. And in that game, they threw a lot of deep balls, right? You saw Trey Owens throw the deep ball, and he's got a beautiful deep ball. It's probably him and Arch have beautiful deep balls. Arch, you saw him show off his deep ball. They probably threw, what, eight deep balls in that contest and had three touchdowns on deep balls, 275 yards and a 56-yarder. If you're looking at things that are a sneak peek at what you could see more of based on what you saw in the spring game, deep ball is one of them, no doubt. The deep ball is definitely one of
those. No, that's why we saw Sark smiling so big after the game. It's like, did you see how many deep balls there were?
Man,
oh, so many deep balls. Yeah, I haven't seen it in so long.
I think this year, if you can chart it, I think he's going to try to bring them back. And they looked really good. I mean, he completed 42% of their deep balls in that spring game. So all the quarterbacks looked pretty efficient converting those. Also, I saw empty a lot more. I'll get into this. Empty formation, no backs in the backfield. You can run it out of any personnel grouping, 11, 12, 21, but you just empty the backfield. That's why they call it empty. And Quinn, notoriously, we'll get into it in detail maybe tomorrow. I can break down the numbers here for my notes. He's never been really good at empty, which is strange because he can make all the throws and he's got a quick release and a quick delivery. But he doesn't sense pressure really well. He sees it, and he gets sacked a lot out of empty, which you're not supposed to be sacked out of empty. The ball's supposed to come out quickly. So sack rates usually drop out of empty formation, but not for Quinn. But since Quinn wasn't playing, he was using a lot of empty. And Quinn's getting better at it, kind of like his deep ball. He's not naturally good at it, but he's getting better at it. But I think that's something that Sark wants to use more of. And you saw a lot of it in that spring game because Arch is really good at it because Arch is efficient. Arch gets the ball out on time. He's poised in the pocket. There are a lot of the kind of natural things that he does well. His anticipatory ability. He's so damn efficient, either with his movement in the pocket or even when he's getting rid of the football, his accuracy. There are not a lot of flaws in Arch's game. But it's I think one thing he'll be good out of empty is because, as a Manning, gets the ball out quickly and gets the ball out on time. That's what you need out of empty formation, and they use a lot of it. And I think the quarterbacks were 67% completion percentage running empty formation, and Trey Owens did it really good too. So that's maybe another sneak peek, something you may see.
Well, especially because you can, switching up and, I know if you substitute, you have to let the defense substitute, but still getting the right personnel out on the defense when they can go from pony package to empty or empty to pony package, and you go from no running backs to two running backs on the field, and how much the defense is trying to figure out their substitutions and who's going to be on and off the field. And, if you're doing that on a third down when it's third and two and maybe you want to get a legal substitution or get too many men on the field or one of those things, and you just run that and try and confuse their defense a little bit, it's nice to have that ability to try and, throw a team off by throwing as many different personnel groups out that their defense has to figure out how to defend it all.
Yep. No, I totally agree with you. And I love that. They call it reload, when you start out in empty, but then you put guys back into the backfield, like you're reloading the backfield. And Sark likes to do that too, just kind of mess with defenses and their structure. All right, we'll come back. Also, we talked about the edges, but the edges for Texas, really impressive group too. Ethan Burke, Colton Vosick now going to be added to that rotation with Trey Moore, with Colin Simmons, who looked great. You might be six deep on the defensive end at the edge position. Sark will talk about that, but he also talks about something that they may need on the 4 acres after watching the spring game. We'll hear from Steve Sarkisian. We'll also talk more about the spring game and Big Fat Poll of the Day. Who was your standout performer in the spring game for most people? It's a Manning. We come back. We'll get into that and more right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And they were all asking themselves the same question. What is behind that curtain?
All right, welcome back to the Rodcast. Time to get to some Steve Sarkisian audio, get his thoughts on the spring game. He spoke to the media in his post-spring game media availability, and he was asked about areas to improve and strengths of his team after getting a little sneak peek of them over 15 practices in a spring game. Here's what Sark had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously the depth on the defensive line is not where we need it to be. And so we're got, hopefully we can address that. And so that's a bit concerning. Finding, you know, when you throw a lot of touchdowns like that, it's okay. Who's playing how and what in the back end, and making sure that we solidify that. And naturally, when you break up teams and you got guys on both sides, but solidifying the back end and who's playing where and getting that right combination of guys. And that's going to be helpful. You know, I think, you know, for us, we're very fortunate at the quarterback position to have a third year starter, to have the backup that we have. And really, I think everybody probably got a glimpse of Trey Owens today. And I, you know, not to take a shot at those that put stars on quarterbacks, but I trust our evaluation, and we could probably recruit any quarterback in the country, but Trey Owens is really talented, and he can make a lot of throws. And so I'm very encouraged with where we're at the quarterback position. And I'll say something coming out of spring that maybe didn't show up quite as much in the spring game, but our edge pass rush is real. Trey Moore is a real pass rusher. Colin Simmons can affect the quarterback. We know about Ethan Burke and Baron Sorrell. Colton Vosick, the second half of spring, has really stepped up his game. Zena is another impactful player. So, you know, we've really tried to address that position, and I think it's paying off for us and will pay off for us in the fall.
All right, there you go, Sark. Talking about the edge positions for Texas. And their strength, there's no doubt about it. That is a strength for them. We talked about that at the end of the last segment, and adding Colton Vosick to the mix there, and then you add in a young Colin Simmons. Those guys are really impressive. You also get into the quarterbacks and how deep they are at quarterback. He didn't talk about the wide receivers, but that obviously is another strength. The only area where I think he is concerned, and he's spoken about this, and we played the cut last time we went behind the burn orange curtain, is the big humans. They need bigger humans in the interior D line. So, and catcher, can you have that cut ready where he talks about the defensive line there, the defensive line depth, please? Because you see here, he's complimentary of the edges, which are the edge defenders, defensive ends. But at the same point, even in that cut, he talks about the defensive line depth is not where it needs to be. And I feel like he, in his mind, when he says D-line, he basically puts the interior D-line in that category, but not the edge position guys. Do you feel like that too, Patrick?
Yes.
When he talks D-line, he's talking about interior D-line specifically, and he doesn't specify that, but that's what he's talking about. And the edges are just totally different in his mind. Period.
It feels that way. Like, it's how he's saying it, just the semantics of what he means by it.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it feels that when he's saying D-line, because he says in the same clip, what's your weakness? D-line depth. What's your strength? Edge depth.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, that's on the D-line. Nobody.
That's the same thing.
Yeah, so it's, I just think he, yeah, in his mind, because he says it again here, basically.
Yes.
He talks about the interior D-line. Here is Sark talking about the defensive line depth, but I think specifically he's talking about the interior guys, the big humans.
We don't have enough bodies. There's not enough big humans, you know. I mean, it's simple math. And we're just, and, you know, for a variety of reasons. And so we've got to address it. And you know, again, it's not always about addressing it with, you know, with the guy who's going to come in and win the outland. It's about having enough depth, especially playing in Austin, Texas in September and early October. We have to rotate players. And, you know, there was times I sat in here with you guys a year ago in September, and we were playing upwards to 30, 32 guys on defense in the first half of games, never mind in a total game. And so to do that, you have to have enough quality people that you feel comfortable rotating in there to make that happen. And so we have got to address it, which we will. And again, we're in a really good spot. Yeah, we've got a good quality football team. We've got a lot of great depth at multiple positions on both sides of the ball, on special teams. But naturally, you know, when one area is not quite where you need it to be and the others are such a high level, it's a little easier to see now. You know, 3 years ago, it might have been tougher to see when maybe we didn't have the depth at a few other spots. But it's a little easier to see, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, and we'll address it. I love our frontline players. We got to make sure that we have enough bodies in there that can really contribute.
Yeah, see, and Sark doesn't seem concerned with the secondary because the secondary didn't come up, really.
No, I don't think he's as concerned about that. And just to another point of why we mean defensive line means interior line, he says the Outland Trophy, which is given to the best interior lineman.
Yeah,
so it's exactly. Everything he's saying is saying D-line, he means interior D-line.
Yes, because people are like, hold on, Sark said D-line depth. And by the way, the Edges lost two guys via the transfer portal already.
Yeah.
Right, they lost Billy Walden and Jamon Tapp, and still we're talking about how deep that group is. That's how deep that. That's why those guys are like, "Hey man, I gotta get out of here. There ain't no path to play right now." That's how deep they are at that position. But yeah, he didn't mention the secondary. So I don't think Sark is as concerned with the secondary because I think he believes the edges are going to be able to put a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. That'll make the job of the DBs a lot easier in terms of coverage. And when you put all the pieces together, you know you got Malik Muhammad. He's consistently your best coverage corner. Derek Williams is going to be your best coverage safety. He's going to get better. You know you're going to have Jadae Barron, who wasn't available in the spring game. He's going to be available, and he's going to make your secondary better. Makuba's going to be a consistent player. So your frontline guys, the corner opposite Terrence Brooks is probably a concern. Sorry, the corner opposite Malik Muhammad is probably a concern with Terrence Brooks and Gavin Holmes. Who's going to occupy that spot? Because both of those guys got beat, in the spring game. But I think they're confident they can figure it out and moneyball that situation. The problem with the secondary is not those frontline guys. They like to rotate.
Yes.
They want to rotate. And he even brought it up. They want to rotate guys. So the problem is that those frontline guys are awesome, but they're going to play like 65% of the snaps. Then there's another 35 where those guys are going to be out there. So how you mix and match, I think those pieces are going to be important. Yeah, those guys will play together, or do you want to put some of those veteran pieces with some of the younger guys that you're going to rotate in to stabilize them so that it's not, all those young guys on the field at one time. So I don't know how they're going to do it. But yeah, the secondary, I thought it might be a strength this year. It still could, but there's no doubt they didn't make enough plays in the spring game. I'll admit that. Yeah, so Longhorn fans are upset about the secondary, but they maybe you got first world problems. That's the only complaint you have coming out of the spring game.
I think you can look at that, and it was things were a little bit more vanilla, and you probably weren't trying to show too much in that secondary, and so I think that it's not a point where I'm freaking out about it. I would have liked to see more. I would have liked to seen some more plays. We talked earlier about the Manny Muhammad play on the perimeter on Jonte Cook where he played it perfectly and it was still a catch. And those were what you wanted to see more of, was great offense beating great defense. And a lot of times you saw really good offense and I didn't even see the defender. And you just saw, them coming. That happened too many times where it was not necessarily great offense beating great defense. It was just
great point.
That's where the issue was.
Busted coverages. The first one, yes. DeAndre Moore touchdown, busted coverage by Terrence Brooks, cover three. He had his eyes on the number one receiver, not King, number two. The Ryan Wingo touchdown, the second touchdown was a simple switch release. The DBs, that was miscommunication by the DBs. They should have been able to pass off that receiver in coverage. On the deep touchdown on Kobe Black, it's just bad technique by Kobe Black. But Kobe Black should have better technique and be able to stay up on the upfield shoulder. And then Xavier Filsa-Me as the safety if he was looking at the quarterback and reading the quarterback, he would have saw that Trey Owens didn't look anywhere else other than Ryan Wingo, and he might have had a jump on that deep ball. The Thatcher Milton touchdown, Xavier Fields and me, go watch him right after he catches the ball. He puts his hands on his head in disgust because he took the wrong angle to the football. He took the right angle. He'd have got a pick, actually, in that play. Go watch it. That first Thatcher Milton touchdown. And, I mean, I can go over my – I mean, I see a lot of coverage busts on, you know, these plays. Even the Isaiah Bond 75-yard touchdown, that was Gavin Holmes. Probably had bad leverage. Should have been more inside leverage right there, as I believe it's the boundary corner. But he was playing bump and run. You could say Isaiah Bond did grab the face mask, but the refs didn't call it. They don't call it. Hey, man, it never happened. So I think there's more coverage busts and technique issues more so than elite offensive game planning and play, because Sark was pretty vanilla on offense. So to your point, I'd like to just see more contested situations,
yes,
and therefore see the DBs be able to win their fair share. If you're not even close because it's a busted coverage or because your eyes are in the wrong place, then how are you going to ever get there where you can contest a catch or have an opportunity to win on that play? So that was a little disappointing, but that's the only complaint. And I think you can still win games with that. We know that. Texas had a bad secondary last year, and you went to the college football playoff. So you can do it. You can do it. It's just it's going to give you a lot of heartburn and a lot of bubble guts, Longhorn fans, this past year.
Put it this way. They are sending them off into May with a lot of homework.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. This is not a finished product, and no team is going to be perfect. Every team's going to have flaws.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like this may be the flaw for Texas, and we'll see if they get it shored up. But like I said, they're going to get D tackles in the portal, not secondary guys. That tells you a lot. That tells you a lot. All right, we come back. We'll get into off the record on the other side. Funny story about Jim Harbaugh. Aren't they all funny stories about Jim Harbaugh? All of that and more right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, coming back on the Horn.
DD Mega Doodoo, I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain bag comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
All right, Jim Harbaugh has been the focus of our Off the Record before, and he is again. Jim Harbaugh got a tattoo, actually. He got a tattoo recently of 15-0 with the Michigan M on his shoulder, on his right shoulder. So that was a big hot topic. But he's doing a lot of wild things these days. He proclaimed that he was going to get an RV because an RV park close to the facilities where the Chargers facilities are. And he claimed he was going to get an RV so he could be close to the facilities all the time and actually park his RV right there at the Chargers facility. But he recently was indeed spotted, I don't know if it's a bit or what, at an RV park near the Chargers facility. Here is some audio of Jim Harbaugh hanging out, I believe, with Greg Roman, his offensive coordinator, too.
Are you guys part of the team or what? Yeah, I am. We all are.
Hi.
Yeah, and I'm coaching for him. Yeah. We're in Huntington Beach at the Waterfront RV Park. This is my Quantum Thor motor coach. Kind of inspired by growing up watching the Rockford Files. Got my DVDs. I've been watching that. Nothing will make you feel more like a dad than when you figure out how to, you know, dispose of the waste. Felt like a real dad. Now, Giro, I said this is a Class C here. Greg Roman.
How's it going, everybody?
You want to see Giro's?
Yeah.
Okay, come check it. Check this rig out. It's like what the rock bands go around in right here.
I mean, for one person, this beats any hotel room in America. You know what I mean?
Take the words out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Living the RV life, Giro.
Yes, sir.
I asked my brother-in-law, John Fearborn, to drive this coach out, which he did.
Yeah, he actually had his brother drive it out there to him, the RV. Because it's like some kind of world-class RV. It is really nice, though. I mean, that thing looks like it's got a damn fireplace in it or something like that. It's a really nice RV. But he was serious. You got to take – it's stuff you think that Jim Harbaugh is just joking about. Because I remember when he said this at his introductory press conference, he's like, yeah, I'm going to get an RV. It makes sense. I can spend more time at the facilities with an RV. And I'm going to get an RV. And everybody's like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, dude, it's funny. And he's like, no, he's getting an RV.
Getting an RV.
He's got an RV.
What was the saying that he ruined at the when they announced the playoff teams? I can't remember what the phrase was. It was something all the kids were saying. All the kids were saying it was something that's a common phrase with young people. And then he took it and turned it into like love everybody or something like that. I can't remember what the phrase was now.
Yes, you are right about this.
Let me know in the text line if you remember, 512-447-3776.
CB probably going to send it to us. You're right about this. I remember this. I remember this, yeah. They were like T-shirts and everything, too. I can't.
Yeah,
I
but it was something. But that's now. Harbaugh. Is he had the thing, yeah. And he goes, oh, this has been a big saying for us. Oh, now it makes me mad. I can't. I was trying to look it up right before that. I can't think of what it is.
No. It was something about like disrespect, and I can't think about exactly what the phrase is. I would get it on the other side. I'm close to it, but somebody on the text line will probably do it first. 512-447-3776. Thank you very much. All right. My CTE will probably hinder me from being able to recall this, honestly. All right. We'll come back. We'll get into NBA playoff. We'll review that a little bit. Raj rant of the day as well. If we can, we'll squeeze in some more of the Sark audio that we couldn't get to in Behind the Burn Rush Crow. We have more of that. So lots to get to. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. The Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis. I'm Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.